Hello and wonderful Wednesday to you. Welcome to CNN 10, your CNN 10, especially on a Your Word Wednesday. I'm Coy, looking forward to delivering one of the vocabulary words you submitted on my social accounts to help write today's show and make us smarter. Let's get started, shall we? Now, we do begin with some difficult news today out of Baltimore, where tragedy struck in the very early hours of Tuesday morning when a container ship traveling down the Patapsco River crashed into a four-lane bridge. The shocking collapse rattled the city, igniting an active search and rescue by the Baltimore City Fire Department.
We were awakened with what appeared to be an earthquake.
A shocking tragedy early Tuesday. A ship colliding with Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing it to collapse into the Patapsco River. The video showing the ship's lights flickering twice before veering off course and crashing.
Everyone, this is a tragedy. We have to, first and foremost, pray for all of those who are impacted.
Rescue operations immediately underway.
We are still very much in an active search and rescue posture at this point, and we will continue to be for some time.
The local community stunned by the scene.
So I came down just to see, and I can't believe it.
And then I seen a picture of it, and I was like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me.
As of the time of the recording of today's show, a few people have been rescued from Baltimore's Patapsco River, but that information could change as officials are still active in the search and rescue effort. We'll keep you up to date with the latest on the next episode of CNN 10, but as Maryland's Governor Wes Moore reminds us, whenever we cover a disaster like this, it's important not to lose sight of the people whose lives have been changed forever.
I recognize that many of us are hurting right now. I recognize that many of us are scared right now. To the victims of this tragedy and their loved ones, all of our hearts are broken. We feel your loss. We're thinking of you, and we will always be thinking of you. Our administration is working closely with leaders from all levels of government and society to respond to this crisis, and not but just by addressing the immediate aftermath, but also by building a state that is more resilient, and a state that's more safe. That is our pledge, and that's our commitment.
The UN Security Council passed a resolution on Monday which called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza for the remaining days of the holy month of Ramadan, as well as the unconditional release of hostages and providing more aid into Gaza. Now, the U.S. abstained from the vote which allowed this measure to pass. Washington's choice of abstaining the vote instead of vetoing it frustrated Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. So much so, in fact, that Israeli advisors canceled a planned trip to Washington, exposing the growing tensions between the U.S. and Israel. Our Jeremy Diamond explains Israel's acerbic response.
Well, hours before they were set to depart for Washington, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu canceling a trip by two of his closest advisors to Washington to discuss U.S. alternatives to an Israeli ground offensive in Rafah. The Israeli Prime Minister's stated reason is the U.S. choosing to abstain rather than veto a U.N. Security Council resolution, even though this resolution calls for both an immediate ceasefire and the release of all Israeli hostages. The Israeli Prime Minister said that it did not condition that ceasefire on the release of those hostages. And in a statement, the Israeli Prime Minister's office arguing that this marks a change in the U.S.'s position as it relates to these resolutions before the U.N. Security Council, calling it a, quote, clear retreat from the consistent position of the United States, arguing in the same statement that the U.S.'s decision to abstain hurts, quote, both the war effort and the effort to release the hostages.
We're kind of perplexed by this. It does not represent a change at all in our policy. It's very consistent with everything that we've been saying we want to get done here. And we get to decide what our policy is. The Prime Minister's office seems to be indicating through public statements that we somehow changed here. We haven't.
This is obviously the latest escalation in tensions between the Israeli Prime Minister and U.S. President Joe Biden. We have watched over the course of the last several weeks as the U.S.'s criticism of Israel's handling of the war in Gaza has been rising, and the Israeli Prime Minister has been defensive as a result. And so this decision to cancel this delegation was clearly aimed at making a statement, both to the United States, but also, of course, to a domestic political audience in Israel. Now, All of this coming as there are still ongoing discussions to try and reach a ceasefire agreement and the release of dozens of Israeli hostages. Over the weekend, Israel agreeing to a U.S. proposal that was trying to bridge the gap between Israel and Hamas's positions on the ratio of Palestinian prisoners to be released in exchange for some 40 Israeli hostages. Israel agreeing to release some 700 Palestinian prisoners, including dozens of whom are serving life sentences. But it's clear that more issues still remain, and Hamas in a statement on Monday evening indicating that it is not budging from its previous positions, making clear that it still wants to see the withdrawal of Israeli troops from the Gaza Strip and allowing displaced Palestinians to be able to return to their homes in northern Gaza. So clearly, despite the fact that there has been progress, that there has been momentum over the course of the last week or so, major issues still remaining between these two sides, and very unclear whether or not a deal can soon be reached.
10-second trivia. Which of these South American countries has coastlines along both the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans? Colombia, Venezuela, Bolivia, Brazil. If you said Colombia, put your hands up. Colombia is one of the most biodiverse countries in the world, with a coastline that touches both the Pacific Ocean and the Caribbean Sea, which is part of the Atlantic Ocean. All right, for today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, have you ever thought about how domestic work and caregiving, so often they're automatically associated with women? Cooking, cleaning, taking care of the kids. Well, one country is working to untangle gender from housework and bring a little more balance back into the home. Our Stefano Pazzaban takes us to Colombia's capital city of Bogota, where a group of men are attending a school to learn how to be better caretakers.
Open, clean, moisturize, close it, and they're all set. It sounds simple, but the impact can be massive. This is what a care school for men looks like. And more than just learning how to change diapers, this is a place where Colombian men can learn how to be better husbands, fathers, and sons.
Así que lo podemos decir al unísono, ¿no? Lo primero que nos dicen, los hombres no lloran.
And that includes, for example, learning how to tie a ponytail.
No es la acción solo del peinado, sino de la conexión emocional que se genera. El invertir en que los hombres aprendamos sobre el cuidado nos va a permitir asumir esta responsabilidad en el hogar. Y aún así, no dejo de perder masculinidad.
That care, something Colombian men just like these didn't really know how to give. During the pandemic lockdowns, many looked for help as they were unable to look after their families. Domestic violence reports in the country also soaring.
Colombian women are disproportionately in charge of household chores and of raising children. And projects like these are already having an impact.
According to research from Bogota City Hall, shared exclusively with CNN, men who said they were entirely responsible for household chores roughly doubled since the project was launched in 2021. The transition from classroom to the real world is fast. Harold Pardo is a father of four, and he's the one in charge of the school run. That is change. Like many Colombians, growing up, Harold was not as close to his father as he is now to his children. But it's not all family care for Pardo. He is studying to work in healthcare administration. And once a week, he and his friends gather for a ritual of Latin American manliness. But even here, the tables are turning. Soon enough, Pardo says, they could be gathering for play dates and changing diapers.
All right, we want to give our congratulations to Mrs. Marchinkevich's class in Annapolis Middle School in Annapolis, Maryland, for submitting today's Your Word Wednesday winner, acerbic, meaning sharp and forthright. Congrats, and thank you for expanding our vocabulary today. And now it's time to give an acerbic shout-out. We are showing some love to Ben Franklin Middle School in Fargo, North Dakota. Rise up. Thank you for spending part of your days with us. Have an awesome day, everyone, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow. We'll be right back.